I'm going to ask that we all bow our heads in prayer.
Just start rattling off all the bad things I've done until you get tired of hearing about them, or what?
I'm going to talk to you about the judge of the fatherless.
I'm sure he doesn't mean to be so difficult, Mrs. Cleaver. It's just that he's at the age where he doesn't realize how important it is to keep a promise.
Which Bible story does he want to hear? Is this a Sunday school?
Thanks, Dad.
Welcome back to the Faith of the Fathers podcast. I'm your host, Carl Gessler, here to reignite the faith of our fathers. And today I wanted to talk to you about someone who is a father of the faith. His name is Smith Wigglesworth, and that's a pretty weird name. And in our home church, which I call the Father's House, I try to have a weird story of the week, some kind of story that makes you just, it's something that you just didn't think was possible, but it, someone says this happened, and now we have to kind of deal with it, because I like these stories because they make us think about what do I think is possible and why. And Smith Wigglesworth is more than a provider of weird stories of the week. He is a weird person in the sense that he did some weird things pretty regularly. So besides his name being weird, but we won't hold that against him. So Smith Wigglesworth is, he died, I think, in the 40s, 1940, I think, 1947. So he was not that long ago, but he was a man who had a healing ministry. And why I say he was weird is one of the things he was known for is hitting or punching people where they were hurt. As he was praying for them, and what he told people was that he was not hitting them, he was hitting the devil, and according to this book, people were being healed. Now, I heard about Smith Wigglesworth several years ago from someone who, at the time, I considered to be a crazy charismatic, and she self-described herself as a crazy charismatic, so I guess it was allowed that I could think that she was too. But she told me about Smith Wigglesworth. I heard about this punching in the stomach stuff for people to be healed. And I was like, what? No way. That's just weird. Then I also heard about a guy named Todd Bentley. I watched a video of him and he claimed that he kicked an old lady in the face to be healed. And supposedly she was. Then I heard about Todd Bentley falling, having a moral failing, and it just seemed to me like another one of those charlatan things, you know, somebody who makes these great claims and uses it to take advantage of people. I don't know about Todd Bentley, and I'm not here to talk about Todd Bentley. I do know this now. This is where I am, and if you will go back on the podcast, you can see in the archives that I definitely go in veins. I'm like thinking along a certain line, reading a lot of N.T. Wright, then interviewing N.T. Wright, reading a lot about the persecuted church and interviewing people who have been persecuted, you know, people who have been delivered from drugs, just different themes that I'm studying, that I'm learning. And it's not that I'm changing, that I'm moving away from things that I used to study. Like, I love N.T. Wright. I think his stuff is really fabulous, and I think everyone should read it. But he doesn't have the whole angle. You know, N.T. Wright is very much an intellectual, and I would like to think that I'm an intellectual. I know I have some intellectual leanings, but I also am a boots-on-the-ground action type of person. I want to be able to apply it, and sometimes it seems to me that the intellectual world is busy forming theories about how the world works and is not necessarily in the action where the rubber meets the road. And so I want to be where the rubber meets the road. And this whole podcast has been a journey of me trying to learn how to be a successful Christian and sharing what I'm learning with you as I go. So one of the reasons that we travel the country as a family and share the gospel and sing and all that kind of stuff is because I don't want to be just another podcast person talking into a microphone and doing nothing. I want to actually be doing the work. So I'm going out, I'm trying things, I'm experiencing things, I'm having battles, I'm having victories, I'm having losses, and I'm coming to share those things with you. So I hope that's a benefit to you. I hope that helps you understand a little bit of where I'm coming from. So Smith Wigglesworth punching people in the stomach, Todd Bentley supposedly kicking an old lady in the face, and they're getting healed. But of course, Todd Bentley had this moral failing, and people point to that and say he was a false prophet and da-da-da-da-da. What I'm learning, the more I learn about life and people, and I'm 40 years old now, I've been studying this stuff all my life, I've been walking in it, I've been in the church, I've been in ministry all my life, is that people are very broken. And God uses broken people. That's the only people he uses. That's the only kind of people that there are. He's in the business of making us whole, but it's still a process. So just because someone has a moral failing doesn't make them a false prophet. It means that they made a mistake somewhere, that there's something ungodly in their lives, obviously, because ungodly fruit was born. But that can be true of all of us. Sometimes the most obnoxious Christians are those who are always worried about doctrine, and they're always worried about false prophets, but they're not producing life. They're not producing much in their own life that could be called the fruit of righteousness. Many people who are very ardent about doctrine, for some reason, lose their kids. Their kids don't seem to attach themselves to their faith. And, you know, like what we're after here, what I'm after, is the whole gospel, the one that produces righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I am a purpose-driven, I'm a driven person with a purpose, and I have lots of ambition. And one of the things in my life that I have to regularly do is learn to tame my ambition for doing stuff to remember the people that are right in front of me. This has been a difficulty in my life, and I'm going to get back to Smith Wigglesworth because this does have a lot to do with him. One of the difficult things in my life is because I'm not trying to be a podcast expert. I'm not trying to be a rock star of a worship leader. I'm trying to do effective ministry. So I'm kind of in a lot of different things. I feel like I haven't become an expert at one thing because I'm busy doing a little of everything. And if I am to judge my success by how many people listen to this podcast, or how many people know about my music, or how much money I make, or whatever, maybe I'm failing. But that's not my goal. My goal is to see revival. And when I say revival, I mean a nation woken up, returning to Jesus. I know we'll never be perfect. I know there will always be evil in the world. But I believe that we can live in a time where people, where our world is becoming more just, more like Jesus than it was before. I believe in righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Spirit as being the kingdom of God, and I believe that America can return to its roots, which one of the ways that the church is being revived right now is in places like Nashville, Tennessee, and forget the name of the town, but up near Seattle in Washington through Russell Johnson's ministry. And I know there are others whose names I don't know, whose ministries I'm not aware of. Sean Foyt is another one. And in these ministries, people are getting healed and they're getting delivered from demons. Their lives are being changed, and that's why there's revival. Their lives are being changed, which means communities are being changed. So Smith Wigglesworth, he's not known for being a great intellect. In the introduction of this book, the author talks about how his messages were not always the most coherent, that his English, even though he dressed like a gentleman, his English was oftentimes faulty and confusing. He strikes me as like a grandfatherly, old-time Pentecostal who might have annoyed his kids because of his constant zeal, maybe, but also the way he talks about faith. Sometimes, you know, I can definitely see the roots and what we know in some Pentecostal circles of just, you got to have faith, you got to have faith. And people are working up trying to have this faith thing because he's not really the best teacher. I wouldn't say Smith Wigglesworth, at least in this book, and this is pretty much all I know about him, but he's not the best teacher. And then he explains how this works. He doesn't talk much about the times people aren't healed. He just insists that everyone can be healed and we need to have more faith, which are things that I believe, but Just those statements on themselves can leave people very frustrated and even condemned because they just think, well, what's wrong with me? I don't have enough faith. How do I overcome these? How do I get more faith? I think Dave Hayes, known as the Praying Medic, I've talked about him on the podcast. I think his teaching on this stuff is more effective. It's easier for me to wrap my mind around. It's also easier for me when I do hit walls to not feel like there's just something wrong with me, or that I just need to kind of work up this thing called faith to try to push through this wall of resistance. He does a better job of explaining, you know, the roots of things. Well, maybe there's something that needs to be renounced. Maybe there's an emotional wound that needs healing in order for the physical healing to take place. So I don't think Smith Wigglesworth is great at teaching, but his ministry is profound. A lot of people would just write him off immediately because he's a faith healer, you know, and actually, I don't know who's experienced this at all. I know there are a lot of people that have experienced faith healing ministries where people are declaring people healed that aren't healed, and a lot of hyper emotionalism and showmanship, and it's really turned us off. And so anytime someone talks with this language, with the language of a Smith Wigglesworth, we kind of write it off as like, well, that's charlatan stuff. That's not real Christianity. A lot of times we react to it by saying what really matters is having the right doctrine. And then all we do is have church services where we talk about doctrine, which doesn't change anybody's life. Well, not anybody's. I mean, doctrine does matter and facts matter and theology matters. And people have been liberated by good theology because the truth sets us free. But there's that doesn't happen much in those circles because so much of what is happening when we're just talking about doctrine is we're doing a mental exercise rather than a spiritual exercise, rather than like actual change happening. We're only thinking about things. And we have to go deeper because the Apostle Paul said that the gospel is not in words only, but in power. So Smith Wigglesworth punches people in the stomach, and apparently they get healed. According to this introduction, which I don't know that I remember, it doesn't say who wrote this introduction, but it wasn't Smith Wigglesworth himself. But it says that about 20 people were reportedly raised from the dead after he prayed for him, after Smith Wigglesworth prayed for them. So people are healed, you know. I think it was Norway at one time, or Switzerland, I forget where exactly, but there was an auditorium that seated 1,500 people, and it was packed, and people were waiting outside. They were coming to be healed. They were in wheelchairs. They were on crutches. You know, they came because they were sick. They came to get healed, and they got healed. And we can say all day long what we don't like about faith healers. We can say, we don't think God would ever tell you to punch someone in the stomach. And I'm not recommending that you do that. Smith Wigglesworth also claims that he saw Jesus many times, something that I can't say that I've ever done. I don't think I can say that I ever saw Jesus. I've seen angels in dreams in a profound way. But he talks about him like as he's praying for someone to be healed. He says he sees Jesus up behind the bed, and he kind of gets his cues about how to pray for the sick person by seeing Jesus sometimes. That's not something I experience, and I wonder why. I want to experience that. But we can be skeptical about all this, but this man's name is remembered, not just because it's a weird name like Wigglesworth, but because lives were actually changed. People were truly healed from his ministry. And Jesus said that we are supposed to do greater things than he did in his earthly ministry. The apostle Stephen got the attention of the authorities because signs and wonders were taking place at his hands. You know, why don't we see that in our lives? I think sometimes we're so busy celebrating and propping up people that we see as being biblically sound, but they aren't actually producing the fruit of righteousness. And a lot of times in charismatic circles too, people have profound experiences, and like Todd Bentley, they still fall into sin. And a lot of times we blame the charismatic culture that came out of for their failing. But who do we blame when in the Reformed doctrine-oriented, and I am doctrine-oriented, that's a poor choice of words, but you know what I mean, the more cerebral-oriented fellowships, who do we blame when they have moral failings? Because they do too. You know, some ridiculously high number, like 80%, some ridiculously high number of men are addicted to porn, and they're in every single denomination. The one denominations, or not the one, but the groups where people are actually getting free from that tend to be what we designate as being somewhat charismatic. So I think a lot of times in the more cerebral environments where people are talking about, you know, doctrinal points as though mental understanding is the most important thing, they just don't talk about the sins that they're struggling with. And there are many times in charismatic circles where there are moral failings, and it is due to poor teaching, poor leadership. But the answer to that is not to throw out the ministry of healing, the ministry of power, and casting out demons, but to press in harder, to press in further, because I do know that when people get delivered from anger, they're not angry anymore. That when people get delivered from a spirit of lust, they aren't addicted to pornography anymore. And these are the things that we should be going after. And these are the things that this man saw, even if he got some of his doctrine wrong. I also think it's interesting because that Smith Wigglesworth believed in healing for everybody, that everybody was supposed to get healed. But it says that, you know, he was always emphasizing, believe God for the impossible. But in the introduction, it says that although he believed in complete healing, he encountered illnesses and deaths that were difficult to understand. These included the deaths of his wife and son, his daughter's lifelong deafness, and his own battles with kidney stones and sciatica. So Smith Wigglesworth believes that everyone can be healed. He sees nearly 20 people raised from the dead. He sees people who are dying of cancer recover immediately, all sorts of miracles. And yet in his own life, his daughter has deafness for all her life. His wife and son die. This doesn't change Smith Wigglesworth's theology on the matter. And I think that is commendable. This is something that I've been wrapping my mind around and sharing with you too, that I do believe that God wants to heal everybody, but we are layered people. We're also fragmented people. There are wounds of our souls that we have even forgotten about. You know, some of the most traumatic things that have happened in our lives, we have forgotten about. You have amnesia over it. It's like it was so overwhelmingly bad. Our brain just blocks it out and we forget all about it. But right in that memory is the root of some satanic lie that got in and caused us harm. A lot of times we never even get to the roots of those, but we can if we seek the Lord on it. And sometimes we run out of time. That's what I believe. So like I said, Smith Wigglesworth's wife and son both died, which were difficult for him. But and it doesn't say anything about what happened with his daughter's deafness. It sounds like she never got healed of that either. But his own battles with kidney stones and sciatica. Now, this is interesting because eventually he was healed of his kidney stones. And it says that after he was healed, his personality softened and he was more gentle with those who came to him for prayer for healing. And that, to me, says that he had emotional wounds himself that he needed, for which he needed healing. I think we just need to come to grips with that the ministers of Jesus are profoundly important. We are the rock, you know, we are the living stones, the ones that Christ is building his church out of. Christ is the cornerstone, and it's been interesting because so many people have balked at this because of their fear of sounding like we're affirming the Catholic Church's position on Peter being the first pope. That's not what I'm saying at all. I do believe Jesus was talking directly to Peter when he said, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I believe he also says that to all of the disciples, that we are the living stones. God is building his church through us, in us, on us, and we are built on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. And that is a tremendous honor, tremendous responsibility, and it's tremendous power. He has given to us, you know, Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and then he gives it to us. We have the authority over sickness and death. That is profound authority, and I don't know how to exercise that as I should. I'm trying to learn. But when I say death, I don't mean, you know, ultimately everyone does have to die. But there is a kind of authority over premature death where people can be raised from the dead. And that authority has been given to us. And at the same time, we are broken vessels who still need deliverance. Smith Wigglesworth says this of himself. He tells a story of a man who he cast out demons. He's on the street. The man was having great difficulty. I forget, he was manifesting in some way, some physical manifestation. And Smith Wigglesworth cast the demon out of him. And then he says that the demon attached itself to him. And he said he was frozen. And he knew what was happening. And he had to cast the demon out of himself. You know, one of the things that I've encountered as I've talked about this is Christians don't like the idea that they could have demons. But just because I believe that I'd believe Christians can and do have demons and that we have the authority to cast them out. But I also believe that that even though I have the power and the authority to cast out the demon, that doesn't mean that I am not also capable of having demons as well. Smith Wigglesworth said sometimes people thought he was casting the demon out of somebody else when he was on a platform preaching and then casting out a demon like Greg Locke's mass deliverance services like I did recently as well when we were on our ministry tour. He said, I was actually casting demons out of myself. And we just need to realize that God has given us great power and authority and privilege, but also we must remain humble and recognize that we're in need of the ministry that we're supposed to minister to others, and we need others to minister to us. So that I think that's relieving, really, because I don't want the pressure of having to be perfect in order to do ministry. And it is bizarre, but as much as we talk about by grace alone through faith alone, many times we really do treat it like that you have to be perfect if you are going to do ministry. We have this expectation that you will not make mistakes if you are in ministry. And there is definitely a need for church discipline. There's a need for confrontation, especially when a leader is in sin. But always, like Paul says, looking to ourselves, lest we too be tempted. We are supposed to have grace because we're all broken people, and we need the ministry that we're giving to others. And that's important for those of us who are in ministry, just to remember that sometimes we need to slow down and receive ministry. I think Smith Wigglesworth needed to do that, and he got healing for his kidney stones, and that's great. Life isn't easy. Ministry isn't easy. Following Jesus isn't easy, but it's good, and it's better than the alternative. You know, I can say with the disciples, when faced with difficulty, like believing that everyone can be healed, and yet I'm struggling with sickness myself, and the devil says, well, do you want to go away too? Do you want like the disciples? Jesus said, it says in the Gospels that because of some of the things Jesus said, some of the disciples went away and no longer followed Jesus anymore. And he asked his closest disciples, he said, do you want to go away too? And Peter responded, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. And that's really what I'm getting at today, is that there are eccentric characters in church history. There are eccentric characters in church history, but the fact that they're eccentric, or even the fact that they made some serious mistakes, doesn't mean that we can discount everything that they do or that we even should. I think Smith Wigglesworth, for all his quirkiness, is an exemplar, if that's the right way to use that word. He is exemplary. His ministry changed people's lives. His ministry changed the world, what Jesus did through this man. And I would rather be a Smith Wigglesworth who punches people in the stomach and sometimes and heals them and sometimes makes mistakes than someone who's careful, worrying all the time about what everybody else thinks and does nothing. And that's what I'm really getting at today. So I want to be free, and I want you to be free to go out, serve the Lord. As you encounter weaknesses in yourself, bring it to the Lord. Have humility. Just acknowledge your weakness, and then keep going. You know that we don't have to be perfect. Jesus has shed his blood to be on our behalf, so that we don't have to be perfect. We can, in grace, stepping one graceful step at a time, we are being conformed. We are being conformed into his image, and that's the goal. Ultimately, we will be perfected by his grace, but we won't be perfected by not taking chances. We won't become who God wants us to be without doing the ministry that he's called us to do. And doing that ministry requires the risk of failure, even the guarantee that we will have failure. But the way to really guarantee failure is to not try at all. And I'm not going to do that. So onward and upward. We're going to do some casting out of demons and some healing, and I'll be back to share more of this journey in the days ahead. Hope you're enjoying this podcast. If you are, take a minute, please, to like, subscribe, rate, review, share it with a friend. Consider supporting the show. The links to all that are in every podcast episode. All right, God bless you guys. I will talk to you soon.